I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. My style's still the precious and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus, the paper is still the gold.
Not for $1 million will I sell my soul.
Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3ND, Signs in Sports Podcast.
All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome to the 3ND Signs in Sports Podcast with Mia Made It. We are here to cover the results of WWE Backlash that happened last night. And we are going to cover the 5 matchups, title changes. Oh, let me mute my phone before anything. And also before anything, guys, this is our 98th episode of the podcast as a whole. So we are 2 episodes away from our 100th episode. And most likely this 100th episode will fall on a Mia Made It episode series. So, you know, we'll try to do something cool. Maybe we'll have a guest on. Maybe Mia will have a friend, somebody who can talk wrestling too. Mia, say what's up to everybody.
What's up, everybody?
All right, let's get into the match results. Let's get into talk about the 5 matchups that we have to talk about and if they were title matches or not.
Do you want me to go down the list?
Yeah, go ahead. Start from the top.
Okay. So the first match we have here was the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. The Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Then we had a tag team match against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus the New Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Then we had a WWE Women's Championship Triple Threat match. We had Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. Then we had the World Heavyweight Championship against Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. Then our main event, we had the Undisputed WWE Championship match, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles.
So again, guys, 5 matchups. We had the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships on the line. We had WWE Women's Championship on the line, the World Heavyweight Championship on the line, and the Undisputed WWE Championship on the line. And the one tag team match that wasn't for the titles ended up being a street fight. So that was between the New Bloodline, Tama Tonga, and Solo Sikoa, and Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, the RKO Show. That's what a great name for a tag team, the RKO Show. I love that. Which match do you want to talk about first? Should we talk about the non-title match?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the street fight between the RKO Show and the New Bloodline. Nick Aldis came out before the match because, you know, they started fighting before the bell ring. I'm sorry, I made a mistake, but they started fighting before the bell rang, and Nick Aldis comes out, street fight, go ahead, ring the bell, it gets going. The winner of the match was the New Bloodline, Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa. What did we say was going to happen, and who did we think was going to win?
We said the Bloodline was going to win.
The New Bloodline, right? We said that they needed the win. We said that it was probably going to help continue building them as this powerful force. Tama Tonga was impressive in the match. I thought that was one thing that was a takeaway from me. Outside of Solo Sikoa continuing to become a force, Tama Tonga is pretty crazy. You compared him to Butch when we were watching. So, you know, Butch has a lot of that energy, that high energy, always ready to go. That was something that stood out to me in that match. What did you think about the results? And, you know, how was the match for you?
I mean, I'm going to say I'm pretty happy with the results. I wanted the Bloodline to win. But we did get a debut of a new member to the Bloodline.
What was his name? Look it up real quick, because I don't remember what his name was. He was another one of the brothers, not one of the brothers that I remembered or that I was expecting, which is the Fatu brothers, Zilla and who's the other Fatu?
Zilla.
And
wait, they aren't Fatus, are they?
Yeah, right?
I have no idea.
Okay, guys, we're getting too into details with that. Too many details we don't know. I thought it was Zilla fought too. The one that Benny Dreams fought. at GCWA. Shout out to Benny Dreams, everybody. World champion for I'm not sure what promotion right now, but GCWA, San Antonio, Texas wrestling shop doing his thing. Tama Tonga, Solo Sikoa now has two people. They're brothers. I know that. I know Tama Tonga and whoever it was that debuted. Nothing yet?
No, it just shows.
Okay, talk about part. The match. I'll pull it up.
Okay, so I think that the first match, I think that was probably my favorite of the night. It's either that one or the other matches we're going to talk about later. But I actually like the new Bloodline and how it's working and how like it's getting people to realize that we miss Roman as the tribal chief.
Tongaloa.
I feel like I knew that.
That's Jacob Fatu, another Bloodline addition after Tongaloa allegedly spotted at Backlash. I don't know what I'm reading right now. It's just a article from the pro wrestling world. But I was looking for who it was that debuted, and it was Tongaloa. Tongaloa interrupts the match at the end, provides the assistance to the new Bloodline, and the new Bloodline comes away with the victory. You said it was one of your favorite matches?
Probably. It was probably my second favorite match.
One thing that I really want to press note on is how Solo and Tongaloa and Tama Tonga are all kind of in unison, and Paul Heyman is not. Paul Heyman is moving out of fear. Paul Heyman is kind of, you know, following because he feels he has to. He doesn't really have a choice at this point. But Solo Sikoa has completed a complete coup de grace of the Bloodline. After Roman left, there was a vacuum that was open, and, you know, Solo filled it. So it was a good match. I guess one day we'll do like stars, you know, star ratings.
Yeah.
Like what rating that match was and stuff like that. We can start doing it whenever. But next match that I want to talk about, next match that we're going to talk about is going to be the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. That's the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, the champions, versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. This was actually a really good match.
That one was my favorite.
This was a good match. I saw Jade Cargill do some things that I think alone in that match were better than anything she did in the ring-wise in AEW. It was pretty impressive. It was, you know, she was jumping off the top rope. She was doing springboard attacks. Like, it was Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair are the truth. They're going to hold those women tag team championships for a long time, and they're going to mow down everybody in their sights. Everybody. They're going to be one of the best, I think, women's tag team champions, I think, that we have seen in a long time, probably ever. Two superhero, you know, strong women. It's going to be fun to see. I saw them do a tag team finisher. Did you see it?
No.
Bianca did something, flipped Kairi, but kicked her up to Jade Cargill and ended up giving her a German suplex.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty interesting. I thought it was going to win the match, but that's something that shows you they have been working together as a tag team, and they're starting to come together as a tag team. Also, the gear.
The gear was fire.
What did you think about that match? Tell everybody what you thought and how you felt about the ending.
I think, like I said, that one was my favorite match. I love seeing Jade Cargill in the ring. Because I watched her when she was at AEW, when I first became an AEW watcher, and she was my favorite. Her and, like, some other girls were my favorites. And I like the way that her and Bianca work together. Like, I think their tag team is going to be, like, historical-wise, like, type of tag team. It's because with them, once they won the championships, I don't see anybody beating them. It's not like the past tag teams, like, who was the Kabuki Warriors. The moment they got those, I knew, like, oh, Jade and Bianca are definitely going to beat them.
You have been calling it for a long time.
When Katana and Kayden won the tag titles, oh, what's to call it, the Kabuki Warriors are going to beat them. Yeah. That was kind of just how it is was for a while. Now, Jade, we don't know.
Jade and Bianca, you don't know. Who's going to knock them down? There's going to be a lot of interesting matchups. I think they're going to defend the titles a lot, or maybe they just defend them on premium live events because they're that good. They're that much money. So it's going to be interesting. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven are obviously going to get a chance. That's going to be fun. Kaden and Katana, Indy and Candice. You know, there's a lot of firepower, and that's because there's people coming up from NXT too, so you don't know what's going to happen with Kiana James or with, what's her name? Lyra Valkyria?
Lyra Valkyria.
Okay, so it was a good match. Like I said, eventually one day we'll get into star systems and we'll rate the matches and we'll kind of start taking track of we got this many right in this episode, we got this many wrong, whatever, and we'll kind of start, you know, challenging ourselves a little bit and see who gets more right, who gets more wrong, you know? So next match that we're going to talk about the WWE Women's Championship match. That's Bayley, the champion, versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. Before we get into this one, I just want to say that Tiffany Stratton was robbed. It was Tiffy time. It should have been Tiffy time. Tell us what you thought about the ending. Tell us what you thought about the match.
I'm kind of disappointed that Tiffy didn't win, but that I did have a gut feeling that Tiffy wasn't going to win. That it was just going to be Bayley was just going to end up winning at the end. But whenever she came out, I did say, dang it, I want her to win now.
She had a good entrance. She had a good entrance. Naomi had a good entrance. Let's talk about that crowd from Lyon, France. One of the first things that my brother, the 3 to the 3 and D, Trey to the 3rd, one of the first things he texted me was, those soccer crowds are something different, because that culture of, you know, those soccer crowds, those countries where soccer is their main sport, the unison in which they chant, everything that they do is together, it's, you know, all at once, and the energy, the excitement, a lot of those crowds, the foreign crowds, you know, they don't get as much exposure to the WWE like Americans do or have. So when it comes around, they live so much in the moment and they enjoy it without having to feel like they have to record or anything like that. So they're able to kind of just live and just enjoy everything about it. To them, it's WrestleMania, you know, biggest event that comes to them. So I enjoy the fact that the WWE went worldwide. I think that was a good idea. Again, I can't wait till we'll talk about it later, but Cody Rhodes, you know, goes around the world and defends against people like Drew McIntyre in, you know, at Clash at the Castle, you know, different people in different countries representing their home countries. That'll be epic, because that atmosphere is so, so electric. I've never seen anything like that. I thought Jey Uso's entrance was the best of the night.
For sure.
I thought that was insane. I've never seen nothing like that. But Bayley, the champion, retaining over Naomi, over Tiffany Stratton, getting the pin on Naomi. Who would Bayley fight next? Who are the contenders, or where do you think the direction is going? Do you know?
I really want her to have a solo match with Tiffy.
With Tiffy?
With Tiffy next, and then there's...
Dakota?
Dakota, there's... let me see. Who's other SmackDown
Jade,
women?
Well, no, Jade's a tag team champ.
Liv.
Okay.
Because Liv's going to go anywhere for a title.
Yeah, Liv would try anybody. Liv's on what, Raw?
Raw.
Okay, so probably not, because I believe Bayley is on SmackDown.
Chelsea
could.
Chelsea's on SmackDown.
I'm interested to see where it goes, because I guess we know Charlotte could come back.
Charlotte.
Could come back soon. That would be another good one. Lyra Valkyria, brand new. Zoe Stark. I don't know where Zoe ended up going. Zoe's SmackDown or Raw?
Raw.
Oh, yeah, because she's in the Queen of the Ring mm-hmm. on Raw. Okay, so, I mean, there's a lot of potential. I wonder how long they're going to have Bayley hold the championship, period. I don't know if it's going to be a 6-month title run, a 4-month title run, a 2-month title run. As I've said, I mean, I'm somebody who is strongly for quick turnover with the titles in the women's division. I'm all for it. Let's make some champions. Let's make some stars. Let's pass that belt around a little bit. Not for too long, but let's get it going. Let's get it moving. I thought it was a good match. I wanted Tiffany Stratton to win. Obviously, we were wrong there, but Bayley ended up retaining, and I'm not mad about it. Bayley had a great entrance. I think she has a good vibe with the crowd. Everywhere she goes, premium live events. I'm a big fan of the hey Bayley. I want to know. I like that. So I mean, that's not something that I'm upset about. Tiffany Stratton, I think, is the future. I just wish it would have been. I wish the future was now. So, any other comments on that match?
Can we talk about how Naomi really showed out?
That's true. Go ahead and talk about that. I am ready to give Naomi her credit because I don't think I've ever seen Naomi have a match as good as she looked yesterday. It was yesterday, right? That we watched. Okay, so yesterday, I believe before you go, I'll pass the mic to you right now. But I was somebody who was a big critic of Naomi because similar to my favorite wrestler at the time, Sasha Banks. She was somebody who you would notice a botch here and there. You would notice the pace a little bit slow, not very hard hitting. That was something that I think Sasha and Naomi both struggled with. Sasha, I don't know if she's fixed it. Naomi, last night, has fixed that issue. And I think I talked about it. I said that I think Naomi needs to become more of a hard hitter. She needs to become more physical. And she needs to become... She just needs to use that aspect more because she can already high fly. You know what I mean? Yeah. She already, you know, does the showmanship. You know, she just needs to be hard hitting and physical. And I think she did that last night. So go ahead and talk about Naomi.
What me and Darren were talking about last night is that, because I didn't like Naomi either when I first started watching. But then, like, I saw her whenever she left. I remember seeing her in, was it TNA that she went to, or was it Impact? Or is that the same thing? I don't know.
I think it's the same thing. TNA, Impact.
Yeah.
We're learning as we're going too, guys. We're learning as we're going along with y'all. So I think I'm 6 years back into watching wrestling. You're 3 years in?
Yeah.
3 years in. So TNA, Impact. It was TNA.
So whenever she was in Impact is whenever I started like following her. And I noticed that she got better, and I started liking her character. And whenever she came back at the Rumble, I think I was the only one in the living room excited about it.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people felt like they were expecting other people. Sasha Banks was a big what if she comes back here. So when Naomi came back, it was kind of a 50-50. There was half people that were really excited, half people that were like, okay, let's see how this goes. But continue.
Yeah, and at the Rumble, of course, I've noticed she messed up a couple times. But from there to the match last night, she improved, like, really well. Like, Impact taught her well with all the big matches she was having. And that match, her gear was on point. Her entrance was on point. Her ring skills are on point. She was hard hitting. Like, for a moment, I thought that she was going to beat Bayley.
Yeah, it did look that way. It did look. I think she performed better, even if it's slightly, than Tiffany Stratton. I think Tiffany Stratton always shows out, but Naomi was definitely, she definitely did her thing, and she definitely proved, she proved herself to me. I mean, who am I? You know, whatever, but she proved herself to me, and I'm excited to see if the new direction of her character. I also thought her gear was the best that it's ever been.
For sure.
You know, I like the one she had been wearing before this one too, but last night's gear was fire. Definitely best I've ever seen. So
for sure.
I'm interested. Let's see where it goes. So next matchup we're going to talk about?
Let's do the World Heavyweight.
That is Damian Priest and Jey Uso. You want to talk about it first? You want to let us know what you felt about the outcome, what you felt about the match, and what you felt about it as a whole?
Sure. This match was actually really exciting. I actually thought Jey was going to win for a bit.
This was a great match.
Yeah.
Jey redeemed himself from WrestleMania.
Yeah, and then the crowd, the way Jay was working with the crowd the whole entire time, from entrance to end of the match, it was good. Both superstars put their fullest into that match. Because I've never rooted for Damian Priest before. I thought he was going to win because it's Jay. But then Jay was showing off, and I was like, oh, I got it wrong again.
Yeah, we did think it was Jay. Damian Priest, was that his star-making performance? Because is so, okay, that wasn't even my question, but that's a question that I have too. Was that Damian's star-making performance as champion? Because that was a good match. That was very physical. That was a very hard-hitting match. It had a lot of presentation to it. It had a lot of, you know, playing to the crowd. I thought it was a great match. World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Damian Priest is starting to look better and better with that championship. They're starting to, you know, when you see him walk into the arena, dude looks like money. And he looks like The Undertaker. Everything about him, stature, tattoos. He's the, what? I always ask this question. Dominican? Puerto Rican?
Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. He's the Puerto Rican Undertaker, bro. Like, he fits the bill all the way. I mean, he has the modified choke slam. He has the choke slam where he choke slams him, but he goes down with him. Like, he's the modern day Undertaker. And I think I like it. But, man, Jey Uso's my boy. And Jey Uso's been my boy since I started watching wrestling and since the Usos became something that I started paying attention to more. Man, Jey Uso's my boy, man. I wanted to see him win. But my next question and the question that I wanted to ask was, what's going on with Jey Uso? Is he somebody who doesn't need a title because he's already Jey Uso? Is he like Sasha Banks where it's like she was already Sasha Banks? Like, she didn't need the title needed her type of thing? Like, does Jey Uso, is he already such a figure and such a gimmick that they don't need to put the title on him? What do you think?
You got me there. I don't know.
You know? That's my question. So everybody that's listening, that's my question. What do you think? Like, Jey Uso, he looks in the ring, character-wise, gimmick-wise, look-wise, he looks like he could be a champion. Look at the way he controls the crowd. At every crowd, even American crowds, even Monday night crowds, Friday crowds, like, he has everybody in unison. The yeet movement, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see the yeet movement. I thought we were going to see it last night. I thought he was going to take down Damian. I thought Damian was going to get that quick title run and then turn around and the Judgment Day collapse or something. But that's another thing. Talk about what happened at the end of the match.
Oh, mid-match. JD.
With Finn and JD.
JD McDonagh had came out and he was... What was he doing? Just, like, trying to distract
Jay? Well, he was distracting, yeah. He was trying to distract.
He was trying to distract Jay, and Damian noticed. Damian went over to him and was like, just getting mad, like, I don't need your help type of thing.
With his big-ass head, he said. And then Finn comes out.
And then Finn comes out.
Finn starts helping as well.
And...
whatever, the whole debacle at the end happens. Damian ends up winning, but... JD and Finn Balor end up kind of getting in the way. And then...
they jump Jay at the end.
They start jumping Jay at the end. And then Damian Priest, talk about that.
Then Damian goes and he throws JD and Finn off of him. And he starts yelling at them and getting mad at them. I don't know what he was telling them. I couldn't really hear him. But he was getting mad. And what we said, he's kind of going to pull like a Roman. He's going to be putting them in their place.
It looks like he is trying to put them in their place, ultimately and probably eventually leading to Mommy coming back and reasserting herself, and all of a sudden there's that who's the leader of the Judgment Day.
Like Jay said, he's only the leader because
Rhea's not there anymore. So... that's something interesting that all of us saw. That's going to be something interesting to follow. Great match. I thought it was a really, really good match. Undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes, the champion, versus AJ Styles. The build-up to this match, less than stellar, in my opinion. Didn't think it was really, you know, something that was amazing. Mm-hmm. You can only really get so many AJ Styles promos in your life for in a month. shout out to AJ Styles. Again, one of the GOATs. But
that match, too, I thought he was going to win. I thought we were going to see a new champion in that match.
And that's what I love about Cody. That's what I love about Cody's championship reign, is that every match is going to give you that feel. Imagine when he fights LA. Imagine when he fights, you know, people like Dominic Mysterio, people like Rey Mysterio, people like Randy, people like Sheamus, people like Gunther. Like, every match is going to feel like people like Theory, you know, people like Grayson Waller. Like, every match, what's his name? Bronson Reed. You know, all these matches have feels that are like, these guys could beat Cody for the championship on the right night. And with Roman, wasn't really the case, because with Roman, I think we all knew who was going to win, you know? Yeah. So what did you think about the Cody match? What did you think about the match with AJ? Tell us your thoughts on the main event.
I really liked the main event, even though I kept on getting distracted. But every time I would look at the screen...
We did have trouble in that final match. Go ahead.
I would look and it would always be...
Shout out to Ian.
It'd always be like no breaks, no slowing down. It was just hit after hit Fast. After hit, move after move, like all this stuff. I thought AJ was going to beat Cody. Like I told Darren, I said, I think Cody's championship reign is going to end, because I was getting scared.
Let's talk about the fact that when Cody at the end, there's these parts where he was down, he was beat up, all this stuff, and then he kind of got these surges of energy where it's like, hit me, and like AJ would hit him and he hit me again, and AJ kind of backed up and was like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, that's that type of stuff that earns respect from the WWE crowd. How going through a flaming table in AEW didn't get him over, I don't know, but you know, things like that get him over with the WWE crowd, because it shows that, you know, obviously Cody's a man who, with emotional intelligence, he's able to, you know, cry and express his emotions in a healthy way, stuff like that, respect. But in the ring, we don't want to see you crying. We don't want to see you on the floor. We don't want to see you, you know. That was great. I mean, it's one thing to oversell. It's one thing to sell, period. And then it's another thing to have that, because it's like a kip-up. I mean, not a kip-up. It's like in the WWE games, the perks where you can, like, you know, all of a sudden just get this strength mm-hmm. after you're getting beat up. You know what I mean? That's kind of what he showed, and that's a championship trait. And that's something that, as a mid-carder, you know, most people don't do, and that's something that champions do. I thought it was a really good match. I thought AJ Styles put on a hell of a performance.
For sure.
I thought AJ Styles put on a great performance. For everything that he may not be character-wise, charismatic-wise, gimmick-wise, talking on the mic-wise, in the ring, that dude is... impeccable. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. Gotta give him his credit for it. But the Cody reign is not gonna end here.
For sure.
It's not gonna end here. It's going to, every single match is gonna, Cody versus Logan is gonna be great.
I'm so excited to see what they're gonna do with Cody as his title reign goes on. Like I said,
I want to see the three with Gunther.
Same. Yeah. The what I had said last night is, I think whenever Cody, or whenever Uncle Howdy comes back with his little people, that Cody's going to be his first target. Not for the title, not for anything. He's just going to be targeting him.
He's going to mess with him.
Mess the way that Alexa messed with Randy. Or the way that, was it Bray? I think it was Bray and Roman. Or like Bray and John Cena.
Bray and Randy.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'd want to see Cody have to go through... stuff like that.
While he's trying to fight a championship match.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Yeah, that would be great.
Like them randomly popping up during his matches. Yeah. Like lights turn off. There's Alexa Bliss right there. Lights turn on. She's gone.
Exactly. One of the most memorable Kane gimmicks, or when Kane was like the big red monster, was those things where I remember specifically with Randy Orton. I don't know if it was The Undertaker or Kane. I believe it was Kane. Randy Orton's washing his face in the sink in the bathroom, and you know, the Kane's right behind him in the mirror, and then he comes up, Kane's gone, or Undertaker's gone, whatever, stuff like that, just kind of mentally messing with them, kind of throwing that extra layer in there, that extra aspect would be great. I can't wait to see what Uncle Howdy does.
The what's it called? The QR code. Last night, it takes you to this page, and it took you to two pages. I didn't get to see the second page. Mm-hmm. I got it off of Instagram. But the first page that me and Darren did see was these numbers. It was just random numbers and a little voice message.
We're going to figure this out, guys. We're going to figure it out, whether it's us alone or all of us together. Don't forget to join the 3ND Signs of Sports Podcast Discord server. We're also going to make a Mia Made It Discord server soon and eventually with her and her, you know, internet wrestling community that she's building on her own and networking with. The QR codes, is it? What did that QR code lead you to, and what were the numbers?
The QR code led me to a voice message. It was not like a voice message. It was just a little message, and it was a girl voice.
The messages? The memos? Voices? Okay, pull them up.
Somebody we're gonna just show y'all, posted guys. It right now.
We're going to show y'all what was played and what we found, because like I said, Mia is somebody who is on this stuff. Like, she's following it. She did it with Bray. She's doing it with Uncle Howdy, and it's, you know, at what, 12, 13?
I'm 13.
13 now, guys. Shout out, happy birthday to Mia. So at 13 years old, you know, going through these things, we all remember as kids, you know, what it felt like to be engulfed in the WWE entertainment aspect. You know, it's fun. This is something that I don't remember stuff like this. There was no QR codes and stuff like that. So do you have the audio?
Yes, I have the first audio right here.
So we're going to play you how many?
Okay.
We're going to play two.
Yeah.
Front of the mic.
Right here?
Up front, where you talk, right there.
She's not what you think. She just wants to help. That's all he's ever wanted. He opens up his arms and makes you feel like you matter. Like you belong. He doesn't change you. He reminds you. He wants to know. Why did you forget about them? He says he opened the door. And the time of secrets has come to an end.
So that was both of them?
No, that was the first one.
Okay, that was the first one, guys. Go ahead and play it one more time, because I was talking when you did play it. We're going to play it one more time. And guys, listen closely, because see if you can tell who the voices are. Anything that y'all can find out, let us know in the comments.
And then after this, I'll put the number in. And then if you don't understand, I'll get the little thing that actually says.
Okay, so here's the first one again.
You think you're so close to finding him, but you don't even know what you're looking for. He's not what you think. He just wants to help. That's all he's ever wanted. He opens up his arms and makes you feel like you matter. Like you belong. He doesn't change you. He reminds you. He wants to know. Why did you forget about them? He says he opened the door. And the time of secrets has come to an end.
It sounds like they're talking about God. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my phone's going off. Sorry.
Next, so you have the second voice memo, or you said you're going to do the
I have
numbers
the,
now?
I'll put in the numbers.
Just sign the cross real quick. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh, my phone's at 1%. It was the number 888-280-3999.
Okay.
And let me dial it real fast.
So they gave you a number, you call it, and this is what comes out.
You know the story of the shepherd and the lost sheep. The shepherd left 99 others to search for the one sheep that had gone missing. He rejoiced when he found it. But what happened when my precious sheep went missing? None of you cared. Their families didn't care. Their friends didn't care. You let the darkness take them. Left them shackled in hell all alone. But I set them free. They are my family now. And we will do anything to protect our family. I can't wait for you to see what they've become. It's beautiful.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, that was a phone number, but let me get the...
This is interesting. I've never seen... Go ahead and pull it up.
Okay.
This is interesting. I've never gone through nothing like this, like when it comes to WWE TV. Mia does all of it for me. You know what I'm saying? So we're here watching. She's like, I saw a QR code. I'm like, I didn't even see what you saw. So she's pulling it up. She's... You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to show us or tell us about it now.
Okay. So it reads, do you know the story of the shepherd and the lost sheep? The shepherd left 99 others to search for one that had gone missing. He rejoiced when he found it, but none of you cared. Their families didn't care. Their friends didn't care. You let the darkness take them. Left them all alone, but I set them free. They are my family now, and we will do anything to protect our family. I can't wait for you all to see what we've become. It's beautiful.
That was a transcript of what was just read, right?
Yes.
I mean, what was just heard. So, yeah, guys, Uncle Howdy is always a factor. When he's going to come back, how they're going to come back. It sounds like he's talking about the family of six.
Yeah, and then there was another thing. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how this person pulls these things up. But it was like I guess it popped up during the thing. It was a link. And you type in the link, and it takes you to these Roman numeral numbers. And the Roman numeral numbers lead to 525. 525 is King and Queen of the Ring, the pay-per-view, and also the Bo Dallas's birthday.
The King and Queen of the Ring is in, where is it?
Saudi.
Saudi Arabia and Bo Dallas's birthday. As we all see, Liv is kind of going through her transition again, kind of like Alexa did. The most meaningful, I think, point of Liv so far was, to me, was that after she lost to...
Ronda.
No. After she lost to Becky in the Battle Royale, she was sitting on the container in the back. And they went up to her with the camera, and they were just kind of had the camera on her. She was just looking down. She looks at the camera. She gets up. She walks to the camera. I don't know what she says or whatever, but...
She doesn't say anything. She just pushes them out.
She didn't say anything, right? Mm-hmm. She just walks up to it, stares at it. Looked kind of paranormal activity-ish. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the most notable thing to me is I feel like she... A lot of people are saying Alexa and Liv would be the sisters of Abigail. The tag team.
And I don't know if you noticed, but in the, not the main voice message, but the one before, the first one I showed, a lot of people are saying it's Alexa, that the laugh gave it away.
It did sound like Alexa. Plus, you know she knows how to do the little girl voice.
Yeah.
You know, she had the whole gimmick with Lily.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
What?
Is Lily going to be Liv? Is Liv going to be Lily?
I never thought about that.
Because obviously Lily, an inanimate object, you know, it's just a doll. But there was a connection between Alexa and Lily. When Lily was torn up Alexa by Charlotte Flair, Alexa went crazy, disappeared, never came back?
Mm-mm.
Or she came back regular, or what happened?
She never came back, and then she came back a year ago or 2 years ago.
These are all just speculations, guys. We're just talking as we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, nobody come down hard on us because we don't know. We're just giving y'all theories. I mean, we're just talking about what we think is going to happen. But the Sisters of Abigail, Liv and Alexa, they were a popular tag team as themselves. You know, much less with a gimmick, with a story behind them, with a faction behind them. They're building factions. There's a lot of factions that have been built with five people, six people.
You know,
here we go.
Because I saw
Survivor Series is going to go crazy, bro. That's all I know with all these teams.
There was apparently a leak of who the members were going to be. And I saw Dexter Lumis, Joe Gacy.
Dexter Lumis, the Vulture. Joe Gacy, the...
Pig.
The Pig.
Nikki Cross was one of them, because she's been gone for a while. And people have been saying that she's been, like, showing up, like, randomly.
Yeah. Then, there was that point where she was just standing behind everybody.
Liv.
Who was she following?
Candace.
Oh, it was Candace. Oh, yeah, okay.
Then Liv, Alexa, and, of course, Uncle Howdy.
Yeah.
Which, if they do that Lily thing, who... There's three girls, if the Nikki Cross things are true.
Alexa, Nikki, Liv,
right? Yeah.
But who would the... Well, there's the witch.
The Lily.
And then Alexa.
And Alexa. But people are saying Liv was the rabbit, remember? Rambling rabbit.
Oh, I forgot about the rabbit. Who would be
That's
the rabbit?
That's what that message sounded like. The voice message.
Or would that
message
be Nikki?
The rabbit would be Nikki?
Oh, you said the voice message
sounded like Rambly Rabbit. The voice message sounded like Rambly Rabbit. That's the first
Didn't
thing
Rambly
that popped
Rabbit
in my head.
Die?
That guy always dies and
that's
the dens are coming back.
That's
they
true.
Never liked him.
That's interesting. There's a lot of interesting theories, guys, as you know. We got way off track of the Universal Championship match, but Uncle Howdy is a factor. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know how he's going to come back. As we told you guys, this is the 98th episode of the 3D Signs and Sports podcast. This is 3 years in. We are going to start doing the Mia Made It series twice. It's going to be the preview episode and the review episode. So this is the review episode. As everybody knows, Attitude and Assumptions dropping May 22nd, 2024 by DIG. You can find that on Spotify at DIG. May 22nd, 2024. That is 17 days from now. Three-part album. You will have two parts dropping May 22nd, and you will have one part dropping May 23rd at midnight. So I hope you guys enjoy that. It's a lot of music. Our Spotify is busting. It's going crazy. So, you know, guys, we're gonna basically close it out here. Mia, you got anything else that you want to talk about when it comes to the PLE? And we can jump into it if you want to.
No, I don't think I have anything. But I do want to give a shout out to the group chat that I'm in with all of my good wrestling friends.
Your IWC?
Yeah. like... My best friend Kylie on there, who Kylie and Felicity, they're the two main ones I want to give a shout out to. They're the ones who introduced me to the group chat and helped me get comfortable with it. Both girls around my age, 16 and 14, they're big wrestling fans, and they're the sweetest wrestling fans I've ever met.
Do they run any pages, Instagrams, anything like that? Do you want to pull that up and kind of shout them out?
I don't think they do, but the next episode, if they do, I will make sure that I get that, and maybe I'll bring Kylie on here with me.
Okay.
She did say she wants to be on.
Okay, well,
so I'll bring her on.
So we're on 98 right now. 98. So the preview episode of the next podcast will be 99,
and then
the review episode will be 100. So guys, for the 99th and the 100th episode, if she wants to come on both, or if she wants to come on one. If she wants to come on one, we'll get her on the 100th. If she wants to come on both, we'll do both, you know?
Yep.
So whatever they want to do, as you guys know, we're always looking for other minds to come on and other opinions, other people to come and say what they want to say. And, you know, there's people who like other wrestlers than us, other stories than us, other gimmicks, and it's always fun to hear that. So shout out to the Mia Made It little internet wrestling community. Shout out to their pages, whatever they are. We'll have that for you guys next week or next month when we come back onto the podcast.
Well, this month.
This month. What day?
20 days.
20 days?
25th.
Okay, so what's next?
Queen and King of the Ring.
Queen and King of the Ring. Oh, yeah, May 25th. Okay, so guys, we will talk to you guys in 20 days. We appreciate y'all for coming back on. Mia, say goodbye to the audience.
Bye, everybody. I'll see y'all later.
And we will talk to y'all on the next one.
The realest underground entertainment. TRUE. Hashtag that. True. The realest underground entertainment. Your source for local music. Your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? TRUE, the realest underground entertainment. Rylo, Tone G, Merculation, D.I.G., J.B., Chach with the Heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the Realest Underground Entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at the Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Get at your boys.
Superstar producer Chach with the Heat. You need beats, he's got the heat. Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Find him at www.dayonevibes.com. Find him on YouTube. Find him on www.beatstars.com/chachwiththeheat. Affordable beats, bangers, bangers, bangers after bangers. Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment is the one that you need. The one that you need, the one that you need. Any music artist, any genre, Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Contact Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook at Chach with the Heat. On YouTube at Chach with the Heat. On Day One Vibes in the store tab, and on Facebook at Mario Chavera, and again on BeatStars at www.beatstars.com/chachwiththeheat for all your music needs and all your music purposes. Chach with the Heat of the Realest Underground Entertainment.
Yo, what it do, everybody? It's A2J of VVM. Hit me up if you need features, studio time. And if not, hit me up on a show that I just started. It's called The Shake Zone. I would like to see y'all there.
Recording, mastering, mixing, engineering, production, cover arts, music videos, anything you need, get at your boy Rylo of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Rylo, Rylo. Get at your boy Rylo at Ryan Lopez on Facebook. Get at your boy at Rylo361 on Twitter. For anything and everything music that you need, logos, you need music videos, you need commercials, you need cover arts for your music, you need merchandise, you need anything from the Day One Vibe Shop, anything from the Realest Underground Entertainment, get at your boy Rylo of the Realest Underground Entertainment, the Realest Underground Entertainment, the Realest Underground Entertainment.